Thank you and bless you for this time with you and your word. We honor you, Lord God, for you're wonderful and nothing's too hard for you. So speak, Lord, and we will listen. Speak, Lord, and we will follow your instructions. And all of God's wonderful people said,
Amen.
Amen. If you would open your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Bible. But what I want to talk about and begin talking about today is a very important topic that impacts every human being at some level. Amen. And it's an area of focus, be quite honest, by the enemy, meaning Satan, to hinder us. And that is understanding and embracing our identity in Christ. So I want to talk about embracing your identity in Christ. And unless we understand who we are now that we're Christians, and when I say who we are, we're Christians, we're going to heaven, we're children of God. But what does that look like? What are the behaviors? What is the thinking? What has he provided us? What has he asked us to do? It's a lot more than just the label. And I'm not suggesting that none of you have embraced, but I just want to encourage you because this becomes an area too often in people's lives that causes a low self-esteem, lack of confidence, because their identity is not rooted in Christ. And it's not who God created you to be. And if we don't understand, we won't embrace, even though we read it, but somehow we have a little pushback. That's not for me, God. I'm not like that. Even though you see it in Scripture. And so I want to just encourage you that this is huge because God works through his people. And if we have limitations or pushback and keep ourselves limited in terms of opportunity and possibilities, what God may do in our lives, then God is limited because he works through us. And he'll work through someone else eventually, but he wants to work through me and you. Say me and you.
Me and you.
So he doesn't want to skip over people. He doesn't want to do that. He wants to work through all of us. In fact, I'm thinking about Saul, King Saul. God selected him personally. To be king. He was not his first choice. God himself was the first choice to be king of Israel. But they wanted a man king, a human king. They didn't want a God king. They didn't know what they were asking for. Okay. And so they got Saul. But Saul, he was handsome, tall. I'm not sure if he was dark or not, but he was tall and handsome, all right? Probably had, you know, all the pieces together, the ladies like and all that. But he had self-esteem issues. Big time. And it destroyed his potential. And God did not select Saul to fail. Amen. In fact, the Bible says about Lucifer, who was before he became Satan, that he was perfect in the day he was created. He did not create him to fail. And so this is a huge area about how we identify ourselves. And it's a major area in our society, in our world, about identity. But God has an identity for every human being.
Amen.
And becoming a Christian is not just only we come in Christ, but it's the restoration of the original plan of God for mankind in the earth. And so it's for all people. All nationalities, all people groups, all tongues, all part of the world. God's plan is that every person will serve him and represent him in the earth. So we that are believers now, we're following Christ. If you're not yet a believer, then you have an opportunity today after service to become one. Because that's important, because that could be just the hindrance in your life. In fact, I would know it is if you're not a Christian, why you're not able to flow more of what God has in store for you. But the reality is, even many of us Christians have challenges in these areas. And it was confirmed when I left this, we had our first service, and people came and talked to me and said, Pastor, this is right on time. I needed this because of these self-esteem, lack of confidence issues. And what helps us solve this is not just to read it, but to embrace it. Say embrace it.
Embrace it.
We're all creatures of habit. We all have some kind of family or lack thereof background. And if we're not careful, we let that define us. But as a Christian, you're in a new family now.
That's right.
You have a new daddy.
Yeah. Amen.
And he's a good father.
Yes, he is.
He's merciful.
Hallelujah.
Long-suffering.
Yes.
Forgiving, loving. And nothing's too hard for him to do for you. But until we identify properly, biblically, with who Jesus and the Bible talks about who we are, then we can fall short. And it's not even God's fault, it's really us. So I want to share a bit about this today and begin, and we'll continue on next time. I was fortunate, I received Christ in college. I was a freshman at UCLA. And it made all the difference in my life when I began to go to our church and the pastor began to talk about this particular area. The title he called it was Who I Am in Christ. You know, I never was 6 feet five and 250 pounds. I never was the fastest student or person on the track team, the biggest, best guy on the football team. I didn't play basketball. I didn't get that tall. You know, I was kind of a nerdy guy. So I didn't have all the prettiest ladies in high school in terms of girlfriends. I wasn't a big popular person. And so that began to take its toll, subtly. When I grew up, there were racial tensions during the 60s, 65 riots in L.A., California. But even among African Americans, you know, if you were dark-skinned versus light-skinned, sometimes there was issues in families and in communities. There was biases. Just the devil. Just the devil. And then we get saved, and if we don't learn to receive who God created us to be, we want to be somebody else. Somebody you can't even be. And so we're in a difficult situation, struggling, trying to be somebody else. You know, it was so blessed some years ago, I'm not sure how many years ago, but when it came out with the full-figure women's stores, that was a blessing. Because you start finding women who are a little heavier and more full-figured, and guess what? Some guys like full figures. Okay, I'm going to side over here. Some guys like the full figure sisters. Okay, come on, talk to me. A little more butter. I mean, okay, stop. stop wearing church. Stop that. But you start seeing women who are full figured and dressed with more color in their outfit, nice style in their outfit, a little swag in their walk. Come on. I say, you know what, sister? Because she accepted herself who she was. It makes all the difference in the job interviews and job performance. Makes all the difference. How much more in what God has called us to do as parents, as husband and wife. Sometimes the tension in relationships is because it's one or both of you have issues with accepting who you are. You're touchy. I can't believe you said that. I didn't mean to say it. I told you I didn't mean to say it, right? But you're still going there. You know what? Why are you still offended by it when I said it was an accident? Because it's a tender spot. But when you know who you are, if they call you out of your name, that's not your name anyway. Hey, when you know who you are, why is it bothering you? That's not you. Don't even look back. Because unless we make it practical like this, then our cage gets rattled.
Amen.
And we get off track in the purpose of God and the plan of God. And he's not as glorified as he wants to be in the earth. And our contribution is not significant like it's supposed to be.
Amen.
All of us ought to be making a contribution to what God wants to get done in the earth.
Amen.
And do our part.
That's right.
So embracing your identity in Christ is huge. It's huge. It enabled me to deal with the challenges going to UCLA as a freshman, the first person in my family to go to college. I don't know anybody in my neighborhood. I'm sure it probably did, but I don't know anybody who went to college in my neighborhood. And to have struggling, it wasn't easy for me. But because I found out who I was, I realized I got the mind of Christ, which my Bible tells me. That I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah, do the homework, go see the tutor, and I did all that. And God helped, but it was my determination that it was in me all along.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
I have to believe that Christ in me.
Yes.
Today, say today.
Today.
Is more than enough.
That's right.
I don't need to believe it and let him draw it out of me.
Hallelujah.
And walk in it.
Yes.
And don't make decisions based on experience that puts blockages and borders around what God wants to do in my life.
Well.
I recall when I started out, when I helped our mother church that I got birthed out of, Zoe Christian Fellowship of Los Angeles, I was an elder, overseed about seven departments, even as a volunteer. That's just who I am. I get involved. And so anyway, people would sometimes make a mistake and call me pastor. I said, no, I'm not a pastor, because I didn't like pastors. Okay. I like my pastor, but that was about it. Because I didn't trust pastors. I had bad experience with pastors. So, you know, I'm dealing with stuff in my little heart, too. And so, but, you know, I don't want to be no pastor. I said, God, I was a business guy. I work in corporate America. I make money. Give me money, Lord. I'm good. But this preaching stuff is not for, especially pastor. And so what happened was, it would happen from time to time before I even recognized the call to pastor. And one time a lady said, she slipped and said, pastor. I said, I'm not a pastor. She says, you are to me. I said, well, I may be, but I said, what you think? But I'm not no pastor. I just resisted it. I didn't embrace it. Say, I didn't embrace it. But then in 1988, as I began to draw closer to God and seek God and be open to God's perfect will in my life, no matter what it may be, and it took me a while to get there, to be open to whatever God had. If it meant travel to another part of the world, I said, God, I love you so much. I do whatever you want. I'm open. So then he began to talk to me about pastoring. And because I was at that place, I said, okay, just like that, okay. And then I embraced it. That was in about July of 1988. In January of 1989, we had our first service at Cerritos High School.
Yeah, amen.
Now, all those years before, people were prophesying to me and my wife about, I see Ed, tell my wife, I see Ed pastoring.
Yeah.
She would tell people, he don't see himself pastoring, and I don't see myself a pastor's wife either, okay? But once we embraced it, say embraced it.
Embraced it.
Made all the difference. And yet, in God's mind, I was a pastor all along. I didn't feel like I was one, didn't want to be one. But God says, you were created to be one. And I want to share that as an example. You may not feel like it, may not like it, but I take you to a place to embrace what God says, not what Pastor Ed said, what the Bible says, who you are in Christ. There's something in you that'll never come out of you.
Amen.
Until you embrace it. Say embrace it.
Embrace it. It's a good word.
As a young boy, I grew up without a father in my life. Through my college years, didn't be my father until I was coming out of graduate school. And I paid my own money to go up and see him in Rock Island, Illinois. By the way, we really got a good connection and really worked out well after we did that. And I was there to oversee his memorial service when he passed away.
Amen.
Had a good relationship.
Amen.
But I always wanted to be a husband and have a family. It was just in me. Mm-hmm. But I embraced it. Say, I embraced it.
Embraced it.
So, a couple months, my wife and I will be celebrating 42 years of marriage.
Amen.
Have 4 children, 3 grandchildren. Hey! And because I've embraced it, see, until you embrace it, even the multiplication of what God has. But, and I understand how it can be difficult to embrace when even, you know, like when I grew up, again, in the 60s, being dark-skinned, so I never was tall, and I developed a little self-complex. And until I accept who I am, and I start looking at Scripture and Acts, how God created all men out of one blood, and he placed them on the throughout the earth for the times of their dwelling. So those born in Europe and those born in Africa and those born in Asia and Latin America, God planned it that way. And so my skin turned out black and nappy hair. I decided I'm going to love me because God loves me. He created me that way.
Amen.
And I'm going to embrace it. And you should embrace who you are.
Amen.
But it's not embracing where there's issues.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes out jealousy. Comes out rejection. I don't like you. Don't like. Come on. So I want to minister to you as Christians, because unless we begin to embrace ourselves, you can't embrace other people properly.
That's right.
That's not just a statement. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself.
Amen.
Not worship yourself, but love yourself.
Amen.
Why? God loves you. He created you.
Amen.
And he don't make no ugly.
Amen. Tell it.
He don't make no mistakes.
That's right.
And so as we talk further and go, this is just kind of introduction today. I got so many scriptures and slides, I won't get to it that I got to get to in the first service, but I just want to talk to you about this. And we have to face the music. If that's a challenge, then what's going to heal and help us is the word. That's what did it for me. I believe the word, that greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. I recall when I worked for the Carnation Company, I was an executive with them, junior executive, and we would had to meet with the president or the chairman of the company, and he was known to be ruthless. He would fire folk on the spot if he didn't like your plan. And so we had an analysis to present in a plan for the next year, and the math wasn't coming out, the numbers weren't working out too well, because we knew he wouldn't have a nice profit, and it wasn't coming out quite well, and so my boss, I had a kind of window office, and then my boss is right down the hall, and so I'm doing my analysis and checking out the numbers and doing some stuff, and then he walks by, and I look, no, not yet. He go to his office, and I'm working on the numbers. He come in, I said, not yet. Then I call my wife. I said, babe, pray. And I went on another 30 minutes, and it's time for us to be upstairs, and so he comes in like this. Look in the window, and I said, yeah, come on. Had the answer. I was calculating. Dit, 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 dit. Ah, there it is. I said, come on in. Walked in there, had a powerful presentation.
Amen.
But I share that to say, it's at that time I was rooted in who I was. I haven't arrived. I haven't arrived yet. But when I have a healthy embracing of who I am, as opposed, you know, boss, I'm quitting. I just can't do this. But I remembered the scripture.
Yes.
I can do all things through Christ. We won't get it today, but it's powerful. How the scriptures talk about how the earth is waiting for the children of God to appear and show up. And that is going through. And it's interesting, we read it out of Amplified, is that they're in bondage and in decay. And we see it in our earth today. God's creation is waiting for the sons of God to just show up.
Yes.
But we can't show up if we don't believe who we are.
Well, that's right.
And I thought about it, the creation, which are the rocks and the animals and the dirt and the atmosphere, and how men have the capability to discover and solve problems. But not people don't have confidence. Don't believe this is what they should do. And even when you get a call on your life and God makes clarity, give you clarity about being a lawyer, a doctor, or like one of our members and their son got a PhD and finished school about last year or so and got married and did the wedding wonderful. He said, God's called me to find the cure to cancer. That's bold, okay? But I love it. He's a scientist.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
See, when you know who you are, you make bold statements.
Yes.
Because it's based on who you are.
Yes.
It's not about competition. It's about the purpose and plan of God to be accomplished in our lives, to share our gifts and what we have to offer, so he can be a blessing to the world.
Amen.
Our light can shine bright.
Yes.
Solve problems. Do good works.
Yes.
That's too hard for me. Well, it may be hard today, but work on it and you get better at it.
Amen.
Like some people don't want to get married the first time or again because it's hard. What else is new? Okay, come on. What else is new? Well, I'm going to quit working for this other company. I don't want to work for nobody else too hard. I'm going to start my own business. You know, what's going to be hard? Probably harder there, okay? If you're trying to run away from being hard, you won't be successful in hardly nothing you do. Just deal with acceptance. It's the price of moving forward. Talk to the championship teams you root for and pay all that money for the tickets for to go see. You want them to deal with the hardness.
Yes.
And bring home the trophy. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know, some may not want to get married because it's hard. Bringing two together, and, you know, you got to work out things. Sometimes you got to cover ground again and again and again for a while till you get into a better place. But with God's help, you can work it out.
Amen.
And you have what it takes. It's in you.
Amen.
I was talking to a friend of mine recently. He's a pastor, and he really ministered to me. And I was in his office and looking at some things he's doing in construction. We're doing some similar things. He's the same contractor, what we're doing here. And anyway, I asked him about how his transition. His dad had died. He was a pastor. His dad was. And he was a businessman in technology. And then when his dad died, he became the pastor. And he said, I never pastored before. This is foreign to me. I saw my dad do it, but, you know, he didn't sense a call before that. But he embraced it. And he thrives today because of it.
Amen.
He embraced what God had called him, what God was saying about him. In fact, he said, when I was 10 years old, my mom and dad, they didn't tell me until after my dad died. But when my mom and dad, when I was 10 years old, there was a prophecy to them that not your oldest son, but your second oldest son would be the pastor of this church.
What?
Didn't make sense to them. He was 10 years old. He didn't even know until after he became a pastor, they told him.
Wow.
His mom told him.
Wow.
So there's something that God sees in us.
Yes.
And until we embrace it and embrace it, was in us. That's what he said. It was in me all along.
Yeah.
All I had to do was step in that role, and it came out of me.
Wow.
It can't come out of me if I'm called to be a pastor in this season of my life while I'm doing technology. I'm the pastor. Are you following me?
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with the technology. But another season, that's the ultimate call for his life. Embracing who you are is huge. And it's wonderful. I realized that I played Pop Warner football, played Little League baseball, played high school football, ran track. That's about it. In college, I just did intramural. It was kind of like play football, play track. I wasn't that good. I just wasn't that good. But it's okay. But I became good in the books, though. And everything I did, learn playing Little League baseball and Pop Warner football and running track, helped me become a better pastor.
Wow. Wow.
I borrowed from that. Every job I had, mm-hmm. even as having a paper route when I was a young boy, I draw upon that because God was at work all along. It was in me all along.
Yes.
My mother, in a way, she was not a quitter. And as a single parent, raising 7 kids, sacrificing her career, she would sing like Billie Holiday. Had records. But she sacrificed to raise these children because there was a divorce. And the way she trained me, I had no idea that I would use it today like I'm doing. The good, bad, and the ugly, I use for the glory of God.
Yeah.
The misfortune, the mistakes, I learned from that. Helped me become a better pastor. But if we just embrace who we are. I'm not suggesting you don't, but there are attributes of who you are. That's in scripture we'll talk about next time. And it's not putting yourself down. It's not running away from responsibility. I recall we had a leadership training institute, and I'll close with this. And there was a gentleman in our class, we're training about leaders. And this guy confessed, he said, well, you know, I've been on this job for many, many years, and they've been trying to promote me, but I keep turning them down because I didn't see myself as a leader. When he finished the class, he finally embraced himself as a leader. So he came to me as an instructor and said, I wasn't pastor, I was Brother Ed then. He said, Brother Ed, I got promoted. I accepted the job. He embraced who he was. Now, you may not be the leader of an organization or what have you, but you're able to lead others and begin leading yourself and help others. And, you know, that can be drama, leading people. Come on. Okay, no problem. But guess what? If you don't do that, it's going to be more drama leading yourself. Okay. But the Lord and the Holy Spirit helping you is the drama fixer. So I just want to encourage you as we begin to talk in this area, tap into what we're talking about and ministering on. But I believe some of you today, your blockage is not just thinking positive or accepting who you are because you're not in the family yet. You're not in the family of God. Because God created it for his family. It's not that he don't like people. He's always extending his love to people. And so you're here today, if you have not accepted Christ, to get the right identity in your life. He has it for you. Or if you would please, just every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed.